This episode of Radio Labyrinth is produced by Beth Van Elswick, Matt Carter, Eric Malmstrom, Mike D., Garrett Kemble, John Sutherland, Leslie Norman, Chad Shepard, Keith Tate, Jonathan Wilson, Andrew Hopkins, Wendy Muller, Sean Hall, and our sponsors, Monday Night Brewing, Atlanta Pizza and Yiro, and Resource Environmental Group, LLC.
Blazing saddle.
Now, what the hell do you think you're doing with that tin star, boy?
Watch that boy shit, redneck. You talking to the sheriff of Rock Ridge.
Now, if that don't beat all. Here we take the good time and trouble to slaughter every last Indian in the West, and for what? So then you appoint a sheriff that's blacker than any Indian. I am depressed.
Excuse me, Mr. Taggart, sir, but I sure do hate to see you like this. What if me and the boys was shoot that deer? Would that pep you up some?
That might help.
All right, boys.
Is it true what they say about the way you people are gifted? Oh, it's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. Would you care for another Schnitzelgruben?
No, thank you. 15 is my limit on Schnitzelgruben.
Well, then, how about a little...
Baby, please, I am not from Havana.
His job to offer a better...
All right, cut! Wrong! Okay, just watch me. It's so simple, you sissy Marys.
It's time for Radio Labyrinth with Autumn Fisher, Jeff Leboff, and here's your host, Tim Andrews.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth. This is episode 14 of season 4. We have a couple of guests tonight, and those guests are Alan Sanders from WSB.
Well, hello there. How are you?
And other places.
Yeah, and other places.
Primarily.
I got to do the Autumn thing like, hello.
Hello.
Oh, yeah. Autumn's here and Jeff's here.
Hi. Mi nombre es Jefe.
Hola, jefe. ¿Cómo estás?
Why is everybody everybody's speaking Spanish tonight. I was hosting, filling in for Mark Arum tonight, my co-host, Milani Kai. She started speaking Spanish the last hour of the show, terribly, by the way. And
sometimes that's more fun.
Well, yeah, but our board op, Longoria, speaks...
Ava Longoria?
No, it wasn't Eva Longoria. I would have been in there staring at her jugs. I'm kind of punch drunk and loopy because I've been working all day. So
been here since 8 a.m.
At 7:30, actually.
7:30 and it's 8:08 p.m.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I did go home.
That's
go
all the magic of radio. You don't give that
hours.
Away.
No.
You don't tell anybody
Alan,
that.
Jeff, chill.
Sorry.
No, I did go home.
You have to edit that out now.
I let the dogs out and played fetch with my little Boston Izzy for about a half an hour. And then she wanted to play more inside. So I threw the rope, and then when I stopped, she cried and whined, so I had to play more. Anyway, we have another guest here, Walt.
Yes.
Walt Sanders.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, Walt.
Hey, how are you?
Walt
Sanders. Good, how are you?
I'm awesome.
Good.
Autumn, this is what it would normally sound like if he was actually involved with his own podcast.
I know, so sad. You guys sound really similar.
No, we don't.
I feel like you guys sound a lot like...
Well,
maybe she doesn't have an ear for accents.
That was a compliment for one of us, yes. But we're not sure which one.
It certainly wasn't for the other.
Alan and Wald are joining us tonight because they are the hosts of The Wilder Ride. And The Wilder Ride is a podcast much like ours, but in a different way, because they explore and celebrate the films of Gene Wilder using the minutes or movies by minute format. Over the years, all of us have kind of watched these Gene Wilder's films, and he's played everything from a scientist to a gunslinger to a man infatuated with a woman in red. He even played Willy Wonka In the better Willy Wonka, not
there
the
is
awful
only one.
Johnny Depp
yeah.
fake
yeah.
crap.
There's only
the,
one.
Tim
the
Robin.
One,
yeah. Willy Wonka.
There is only one.
Speaking of Tim Robbins, boy, Dumbo flopped, huh?
Oh, man.
I've heard that. I've that heard audience hard. Score was low yeah. and the critic score was low.
Not Tim Robbins.
No.
Tim Burton.
Tim Burton directed.
Yeah, Tim Robbins is somebody else.
Well, I'm thinking of Tim Robbins because of the bit you and I are going to do later in the week.
Gotcha.
So anyway, but always at the heart, there's a depth and a warmth of a real human being bringing those roles to life in such a way as to leave an indelible impression in our hearts and our minds.
That sounds real familiar.
Yeah,
sounds like somebody wrote that on the website.
Stole from your website.
Someone should give that guy a raise. That's good content.
Yeah,
sounded good.
Yeah, I'll give you a dollar. You give me a raise like the TSA agent gave me one last week.
Yeah. Tim got raped by the TSA.
Yeah,
apparently.
We're not going to get into it.
Did he put your tent pole up?
He fondled my balls. He
you were coming from South Florida though.
I wasn't coming at all.
No, you were traveling from.
That was the problem. If he had done his job right,
you were traveling from South Florida.
Do you guys know that we swear like sailors on this?
Oh yeah, I listen all the time.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. We do too, technically, but then I have to bleep it.
Yeah. Oh, that's all right.
Yeah.
Alan Sanders and Walt Murray are very familiar with us and our swear words that they had to edit out of their podcast.
That's right. We were on season one of The Wilder Ride. Young Frankenstein was the movie, and it was a blast.
What were your minutes? Which ones did you cover?
Autumn, are you like yelling in your mic?
Yeah,
it sounds like it's overmodulating big time.
No, I'm not. Not at all. Here, I can try and turn.
It's real hot
coming
through.
Yeah.
Can y'all hear this?
Yeah, that's good.
That's good.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's great. I'm not going to edit that, though.
Okay, sorry. I'm still trying to figure out
this
mic.
We don't know how to edit.
I know how to edit. I just am lazy. And how many minutes? We were on a bunch of minutes, right, last time?
I was on a bunch of minutes.
You were invited for five.
I did two or three.
I did five minutes. You did two.
All right. Yeah.
You did
two.
Wow. And then what I love, the best thing about last season, and we're going to do it again this season, we actually asked several people to do sort of a 3 or 4 minute recap, wrap up, and Tim's like going, yeah, we were on for like 3 minutes, and we talked about it. I'm like, you were on for two.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, the best thing about y'all coming on is Jeff figured the damn movie out for
you
us.
You did. You figured out the timeline problem.
Right. He figured out that they had about 25 time zones in that one town, and so no clock mattered. It didn't matter if it was day or night.
Really?
Nothing.
Yeah. Before time zones were invented.
It was a good theory.
People just made up, you know, they said, hey, it's 4 o'clock.
Yeah, it's four.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the movie made total sense to me.
Mm. What was I infatuated with in there? Oh, yeah, Terry Garr's boobs.
Yes.
There's always boobs in a Mel Brooks
movie. She did not have
always.
Kind things to say about Gene Wilder.
She's the only one, and that was just recently that video. Talk about the interview from Australia TV.
Yeah.
She's the only one, but you know what it sounds like to me? It sounded like somebody who kind of got jilted and never got over it.
Well, what did she, like Autumn said, what did she say?
She said he's kind of a jerk.
Yeah, he was a jerk.
I have also heard that he's a little bit of a jerk because of the way he treated Gilda Radner when she was sick.
Oh, wow. I hadn't heard that.
There was a book that my mom read in the 80s, and she was telling me about it.
Well, it would have been in the 90s, wouldn't it, when she got sick?
Oh, was it in the 90s?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe the book was written in the...
Maybe there's different time zones in the 80s.
Maybe so. Who knows?
Maybe the book was written in the 80s and was predicting what may happen in the future.
My bad. I didn't know when things were. But she said that she didn't like the way that he was, you know, treating Gilda. So maybe... Wow. And you never know with people who are actors and who are famous. I mean, you could do something to someone and they'll forever know you as a jerk and spread it around that you're a jerk and...
Well, you know, the funny thing, we actually, in season one, we actually had a biographer of Gene Wilder on, and we had a hard time finding any, quote, dirt. Like, there wasn't anything.
Right. Yeah.
Now, I get it. If you had a bad falling out with a lover or a friend or whatever, maybe that they're still hanging on to that, but there was no dirt on Gene Wilder.
No.
You never saw him in the mug shots or doing things that got him in trouble.
You didn't see him in the Enquirer or Star magazine every week.
No.
Right. None of his neighbors were... You know, suing him for throwing garbage in their yard or, you know, having NASCAR parties or anything. I mean, he's kind of a quiet...
Oh, boy, NASCAR, I can't do it. Gene Wilder. I can do Barney, that's my latest thing.
You do Barney. I always thought he sounded like the aardvark.
Who, Barney?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's Jackie Mason.
Yeah.
I'm an ant.
I am an ant eater.
You mean the ant eater. I'm an ant eater. And you an ant.
Yeah.
And the ant was Dean Martin.
Oh my God, was it?
Yeah.
It was an impersonation.
It was impersonation of. Right. Oh, okay.
John Biner did both of them, I think.
Right. I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I loved that show. I loved the Aardvark.
I watched.
Come here.
That was Pink Panther.
Yep.
And I hated the Pink Panther. I didn't hate it, but there's no point because he doesn't talk. Nobody's talking.
I loved it.
Whatever.
I don't know why I did. I think it was so soothing. It was like jazzy.
It was very soothing. Yeah. I understand. Yeah. But I liked the anteater and the aardvark or whatever. I also like Go, Go, Gophers, but you don't see that on TV anymore.
No.
Racist.
Yeah, I know.
Say.
How you doing?
Can't do that anymore. Was that the security guy?
No, I was like, what's going on?
I just had a blank moment.
Okay, is that what that was?
Staring at Alan.
So they're doing Blazing Saddles this time.
Yes,
they want to get back on track.
We did a couple minutes with them.
Yes, we
did. That'll be coming up soon on their podcast.
Really soon, actually.
I believe Autumn did one, right?
Autumn has done, we just did two, right? Or did we?
We only did the one.
We did one, we're going to do one more.
All right.
Right.
So you'll have two total.
So let's, why don't you guys tell us about the podcast for people who might not be familiar with your format and what you're doing this time around with Blazing Saddles, because obviously Blazing Saddles has a little more salty language than Young Frankenstein and perhaps a little
more
racial undertones.
A hair.
Yes, just a hair.
More.
Yeah.
A hair.
I like the multiple uses of the N-word.
Yeah. Yes. Well, we'll start with the easy one, the format.
Yeah, let's start with the format.
We'll make everybody like us, and then we'll tell the other part.
Okay.
We use the movie-by-minute format, which is you take whatever movie you're doing, Star Wars. For us, it was Young Frankenstein, and now Blazing Saddles. You break it down 1 minute at a time, and each of our episodes covers 1 minute of the film.
Okay.
So by the time we're done, we'll have 93 episodes covering a minute of the movie.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So for the ones that y'all were on, the two or three that y'all were on.
I think we just did two this time.
Two. So we were covering one of the best scenes of the movie, right?
The best scene.
The best scene of the movie. And so we took the first minute of the fart scene and the second minute of the fart scene and broke it down. And so we cover who the actors are, who's farting, who's not farting. what actually happened on the TV version versus what happens in the cinematic version. And we break it down that way. So for Blazing Saddles, it's great for us because then we're able to invite a bunch of guests in and talk about different aspects of the movie, what they think about it, their experiences with the movie, both on television and in the theater. And one of the things that's interesting about Blazing Saddles versus Young Frankenstein is how different the cinematic version is versus the television version. So for a lot of us who saw it on TV when we were kids, there are a few scenes that we remember that we always thought was just part of the movie. Now we see the cinematic version. We're like, wait, where the hell did the balloon
scene
they're
not in the movie.
Yeah, where'd those go?
And another interesting thing that you guys do is you get the script of the movie.
Right.
And a lot of times the script is different than even the cinematic version. And you guys like point out, this was in the script, but they didn't shoot it, or it was never in the outtakes. Or
I guess that happens a lot because Autumn and I have done a couple of those casting call chaos.
Casting
bits.
Couches? Wait, what?
No. Casting call chaos.
How do you think I got this job?
Well, I was going to ask, is that how Tim got the job?
Hello.
Maybe that's why I'm still waiting to get the job.
Well, let's play TSA.
Learn how to play ball.
I haven't been asked.
Sir.
Mark Ham's office is right down the hall. Just go down there.
Yeah, buddy. I'm here. You're there, buddy.
Take a shirt off.
I'm totally distracted now.
No, you were talking about the way that y'all do your movie episodes.
Your casting call chaos.
Script.
Scripts are different than
that. So you download the scripts and you read the lines from the scene. And the most recent one, the Pulp Fiction one we did, there were some lines in the movie that weren't in the script. So I noticed that when I was putting it together, I just said, the hell with it, and just made it that way. I guess they ad-lib.
I guess actors make choices.
Or sometimes you realize when you get on set, what you thought would work on paper doesn't work so well in practice. We found out that a lot of it had to do with pacing.
Yeah.
A lot of times you would realize a character. Here's a prime example. Reverend Johnson, when the sheriff shows up and he's like, pay heed to this Bible, or this good book and what it says, they shoot it.
Yeah.
In the script, he goes on for like another paragraph and a half saying, before they even shoot it, he says, and don't forget the lessons of Abraham and Solomon and such, and because we want to learn from this and this and this. And then you realize you don't need all that.
No.
It may have been funny when you're writing it, it may have been funny talking about it with all your other writers, because it was five guys writing it, it was Mel Brooks and four others. But you start realizing it just, and when I read the scenes, first thing that usually our guests go, oh, I'm so glad they cut it. It just feels like it drags.
Yeah.
So.
Now, to Richard Pryor, was he a co-writer?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
In fact, he, talking about some of the racial stuff, He was the one who had to sign off on every use of the N-word.
Really?
And there were actually times when he was like, no, you don't have enough of the N-word in here.
Right. Really?
And yeah. So he was really the voice behind all that.
Hmm. Yeah, Mel Brooks was pretty smart about that. He knew this was an up-and-coming, really, you know, edgy comedian. The whole point behind Blazing Saddles, by the way, was it was written initially, it was called Tex-Ex, and it was written by a guy by the name of Andrew Bergman. And he wrote it, and he said, well, there's a lot going on in sort of like the civil rights, post-civil rights movement in the early 70s. We got a lot of like these rising black stars, black movie actors, you know, just like it's suddenly like becoming sort of this thing. He said, I want to really do something with that, but if I set it in 1974, it's so like in your face what's happening today. Wouldn't it be funny to go back 100 years to 1874?
Right.
And see what happens when you have this rise of black power, of a black sheriff, of a black authority figure being given sway over a particularly white town that had their own...
Entirely white?
Entirely white. That had their own stereotypes and prejudices that had been in, you know, for whatever reason, was in them.
Right.
And what I think is just amazing about the story, which is different than Young Frankenstein, is this is a true satire. It was meant to always be a lesson about how to be better in your current life. Not just a funny movie to watch. Like, Young Frankenstein is a great movie. It is a parody of the Frankenstein story and maybe of the story of Don't Play God.
Right.
But there's not that social lesson you're learning. You watch Blazing Saddles, and you're realizing, oh, my God, the town of Rock Ridge understands it's not about the color of our skin. It's not about where we were born or our nationality. It's about the good guys versus the bad guys, and we got to work together.
Yeah. And they figure out who the bad guys are.
And,
yeah, 1 minute in.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty quickly.
And we were fortunate enough to interview Burton Gilliam, who plays Lyle.
Okay.
And he's one
Sing
of the...
Sing us an old one, an old spiritual.
You got it. That's him. And he talks that exact
Come on,
same
boys.
Way.
Come on, boys.
Yeah. When he first called me, I had sent a note to try to get with him. Well, the second I answered the phone, I knew who it was.
Yeah.
I was like,
He sounds just like, I mean, he's the same character in everything he plays. Yeah. I mean, it's Lyle. So
even the Ford commercials he does now, he plays the same character.
He does Ford commercials?
Yeah.
Tim's tying his shoe or something.
He does a, I don't know what
just
he's doing.
Just keep talking.
He's rewiring the board.
Getting a pen.
What do I do all my writing with?
So Burton, yeah, he does a bunch of stuff, and Mel Brooks had told him at some point, keep your costume because you're going to make a ton of money off of it. And sure enough, he still wears the exact same costume, does the same character on all these Ford commercials that he did back then. And he does them all over the country, all over Texas, Pennsylvania,
He
California.
Still does them.
Still mm-hmm. does them. You can go on YouTube right now and look at his current commercials for Ford.
All right.
It's really hilarious.
Now, come on, boys. Where's your spirit? I don't hear no singing. When you were slaves, you sang like birds. Come on, how about a good old work song?
Trucks, 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 trucks.
Rodeo Ford.
Home of the 11-888 F-150.
My gosh, that's too cheap.
Over $1 billion for second chance finance.
And Rodeo Ford pays off your trade.
Even if you owe $12,000 more than it's worth.
Even if it's a lease.
11-888.
And if you can find a better deal anywhere, we'll just give it to you.
877-GO-RODEO.
5 minutes from downtown Dallas, east on I-30.
Rodeo Ford.
We don't care how you get here, folks. Just get here.
Oi, it's me, your girl, Adele, back again to tell you more about the sponsors for Radio Labyrinth, like Monday Night Brewing. It's a beer, mate. It's a beer. It ain't complicated. It's brewed in Atlanta. It's served all over Georgia, Tennessee, and Alabama. Check out both Monday Night tap rooms in Atlanta. One's on 670 Talbot Avenue in West Midtown. And the other is at The Garage, 933 Lee Street in Southwest Atlanta. You're going to check out their variety of award-winning craft beer. And don't miss $4 Pint Wednesdays every single Wednesday from like 4 to 9 at The Garage. Or Throwback Thursdays, $12 gets you a pint glass. And tickets for 6 tastings, mate. That's going to be from Thursday night from 4 to 9 in West Midtown. It ain't hard, mate. It ain't brain science. Do it. You ain't doing nothing anyway on them days. Anyway, you go keep the party going. Sign up for Monday Night Brewing newsletter at mondaynightbrewing.com/radio. And you can find them all over social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. If you search for a Monday Night Brew, and like I said, it ain't difficult, mate. It ain't hard. Do it.
And it is the exact same character. But he had a lot of, he filled us in on a lot of stuff from the movie, just, you know, as far as him being a new actor. And, you know, of course, he has, he's one of the big users of the N-word and a lot of the other.
In fact, he drops the first two racial epithets. I mean, he docks the Chinaman for napping on the job.
Yeah.
I'm being politically correct for your show.
And then he tries to get those guys to sing a work song.
Give us a good old-fashioned work
spiritual
song.
Yeah, spiritual. Yes.
And they want to sing like Cap Down Lady, sing this song.
Right, exactly.
Doodar, doodar.
Which is the funny part. They actually, the railroad folks don't sing it. They end up being the white guys singing it for them.
And they're all dancing around. And then Slim Pickens throws in his epitaph.
Right. Epitaph? What is he dead?
Or whatever.
Epithet?
Yeah. Epithet.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
I heard you boys get a little track late.
Is that when they were in the quicksand? And they were
just about before, yeah.
And they're like...
They saved the cart?
Yeah, they saved the cart.
Yeah. You almost... Boy, that was lucky. Darn near lost a $400 hand car.
I remember my dad explaining to me why that scene was funny. Cause I didn't understand what was funny about... The sheriff singing, I get no thrill from cocaine. That
from
song.
Champagne.
Yeah, from champagne.
Yeah.
I didn't understand why that was funny. And my dad explained that the expectation was that he wanted to hear like Camp Town Races.
Yeah.
Right.
And he ended up singing like a.
Not a song from Anything Goes, which is ironic. They chose a song from the musical, the Cole Porter musical, Anything Goes. Which one of the things I think, Walt, you and I discovered, it's a silly kind of movie on the surface. When you start looking at the writing and the jokes and the layers, these guys were really learned, and they knew their stuff. And to pick a song...
Learned, Peppy.
Yeah,
learned.
They picked that song, learned. They picked that song because basically anybody who understood that, oh, that comes from Anything Goes, well, then you were automatically triggered. What I'm about to see, Anything Goes. And that really was the theme for the rest of that movie, Anything Goes.
Now, how long ago did you interview him, Burton, and has that episode been out yet, or are you saving it for the end?
We interviewed him just before the season.
Mm-hmm.
And right.
They're spacing it out throughout the
season. We're dropping interview pieces where it makes sense in episodes, but
that's
then we
smart.
Will have a full 2-hour, the whole complete interview will get released when we're done with season 2,
Autumn,
which will be in July.
Autumn, you're the only one on the show right now who isn't in their 40s or above. Are you 40 yet?
Yeah.
No.
No, I'm talking to Alan.
Oh, sorry.
Am I 40 yet? Yes.
Yeah, okay.
You didn't ask me.
I just crossed. There's
how
no
old are you?
Doubt.
I'm
Grandpa.
51.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm the old man of the show.
Jeff's going to be 50 this year.
Gross.
Hey, it's a celebration. You spiked
actually,
the football. I made it.
Yeah, before episodes, we have to get him his Geritol so he can make it to the end.
Yep.
Right, here we're drinking Banjo Cold Brew.
Yeah.
Wait, do you have to insert a spot?
Yeah, not really. They're not paying sponsors, but we've had them on the podcast, these guys.
This is good. I can give them a shout out. This was really good, this cold brew.
Banjo
you guys
cold
talk
brew.
About it all the time.
Caffeinated.
What are y'all going to do? Are you going to go to bed tonight?
Nope.
I'm weird. I've been able to drink coffee.
I have a way to counteract it.
Oh, alcohol?
No.
Go ahead. Mere alcohol?
Taking yourself to dinner?
Yeah, that.
I go home and play TSA.
Yeah. I dress up my dogs in a little blue uniform.
I have a little jar.
I'm concealing something.
Yeah. A little jar of peanut butter.
He goes home and eats a bunch of Schnitz and Grubens.
12 is my limit.
15.
15 is my limit.
15 is my limit on Schnitz and Gruben.
My question for Autumn is, when did this movie come into your... existence. When did you watch the film? How old were you? Did your parents watch it with you? Would they let you watch it? I mean, you're not that much younger, but you're 13 years younger than a lot of us. So
it's definitely there's a different timing going on. Gosh, I can't remember. I know my first exposure to Mel Brooks was Spaceballs.
Yeah,
and then.
No, Spaceballs is good.
Nah.
Love Spaceballs.
Spaceballs.
It was good the first time.
It was good when it came out.
Right.
Nope. Good every time.
And, yeah, kind of like Strange Brew.
I still enjoy it. John Candy can't be beat in anything.
Yeah. He's a mog.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Half human, half dog.
He's
and my
his
own
best
friend.
Mm-hmm. Oh, don't get me wrong. We could quote almost any of the Mel Brooks movies, but we do throughout the season of the podcast. I'll get back to you, Autumn. Sorry. I just want to add this. We do find ourselves commenting on the more recent films of Mel Brooks and how he sort of lost that edge he had when he was younger, where things cooked a little longer, and he didn't feel like he had to constantly hit you over the head with a joke every second, and then sometimes those jokes were too dated.
Yeah.
And I think that's the problem when you watch the movie when it first comes out. Like Robin Hood Men in Tights has some funny individual lines, yeah, but if you didn't know the Robin Hood Prince of Thieves with Kevin Costner, then you missed out on why some of these things are funny.
Right.
Sure. My dad and I saw that Robin Hood Men in Tights in the theater, and we walked out. We walked out during the wave scene where that arrow is going underneath all of the people in the stands, and they're all forced to do the wave. Oh, we just looked at each other like, let's get out of here. Yeah. But now the Atlanta I go back chop and watch it, and I love it. I think it's funny. There's funny things in that movie.
No, there's funny moments.
Yeah. You know, I think the difference, I think you nailed it, Alan. I think the difference between that and Blazing Saddles or Young Frankenstein to me is that Young Frankenstein and Blazing Saddles are funny movies.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, Men in Tights. There's something has different some going funny on there. Parts.
The other ones, are a little bit too silly.
Right.
Whereas the other ones had silliness mixed in with, you know, deep rooted, interesting commentary along with just really good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? There's a little bit, I feel like there's, with Men in Tights, it's not necessarily like, it doesn't have a good backbone.
Yeah, they're not trying to teach us a lesson or anything. It's just silliness.
Right. You know, I'm glad you actually brought that up, asking Autumn that, Tim, about being the age, because one of the things we did with our guests, and we kind of did this intentionally, we have guests from every age range and all backgrounds and ways of life. We wanted to get as much quote-unquote diversity. So we've got, like, our first guest was a guy approaching his 60s.
A three-year-old.
Who had...
Horsey!
I want horse. No, we had a guy that was in his 60s who, you know, he's got his own podcast talking about, like, the space missions and Apollo, but he knew a lot about the trains and about the railroads. And then we actually invited a brother and a sister who are still both in college who wanted to be part of the show.
Really?
So we got everything from a brand new, like, that millennial and pre-millennial now generation. Like, what do they hear about
Can
the
they
movie
handle
and,
it?
Yeah, what did they think?
Isn't that amazing so far?
Yeah, that was the crazy thing. I thought they were going to be really, and there were a couple times when I was like,
they said a couple of words that I was like, Walt, I texted him like, don't go down this path. Just let them say and let's move along.
But for the most part, you know, they really liked the movie.
Yeah.
They said there were a couple of parts that were a little over the top for them, which, you know, I mean, there are a couple parts that I, you know, you don't want to quote in public. But
up yours.
But you know what's funny? What I've noticed, the people that seem to be a little bit more susceptible to the irritation of those kind of trigger words, they're more now about the homosexual jokes.
Oh, right. Interesting.
Like they understand. Okay, I get why.
Your minute's in big trouble.
Right. Oh, she's already.
That's why I chose it.
She already quoted what you quoted on your show last week.
I was going to say.
What?
I heard her.
She said that the F word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watch me, guys.
Yeah. Oh, the other F word.
Well, I loved Tim's reaction to that because I was listening to your show from last week earlier today, and I texted Alan. I was like, you got to hear this. And she said that, and Tim was just dead silent. Uh-oh.
I don't remember.
To which I responded, I'm like, yeah, she said it in our episode, too.
I'm sorry. I feel like it's all about, I think we've talked about this before, it's all about intent. When if I am getting the feeling watching this movie that they're really making fun and putting down and are nasty about these different, you know, different types of people that have been, I don't know, oppressed in some way or, you know, and whatever, then I'm like, no, this is not okay. This is not funny. I'm not interested. But when the whole point of the movie or even the point of what someone might be saying using that word is not coming from a place of anger and like poison,
right?
Then it's fine. It's just a word. They're just using it.
Unfortunately, though, like I said, that's been the closest to where people are like, I don't understand why he had to have that. Like, why make fun of gay people? Why make fun of homosexuals?
What scene is it? I don't remember.
When the fight breaks into that big. That big dance number.
Well, there's that at the end, but at the very beginning, Slim Pickens tells him that you're jumping around like a bunch of Kansas City, you know.
Queers?
Right. Yeah.
He says queers?
No, he says the F word.
Oh, I don't recall. I thought he said queers.
No.
What did they say on TV?
The last one I saw, they
said it.
Yeah.
Like when I grew up in Detroit, that's the funny thing we talk about growing up seeing it on TV. My original, the very first cut
of it. And
the
word is fags.
Right.
Yeah, we can say it's not a big deal.
It's a bad word, I guess, but
that's the only one that's triggered people more than the end. Like A lot of people say, well, I would never say the N-word, but I understand why it's used in this movie. Uh-huh. I don't understand why the F-word is being used in this movie.
Oh.
I'm like, well, because he's also making fun of Hollywood and the fact that Hollywood kept getting this all wrong. Like, Hollywood got all the Westerns wrong forever.
Right.
So,
but also, it was 1973 when they filmed it. It came out in 74. They weren't as enlightened about stuff like that.
And
as
it was
today.
Just in my, when I was a kid, people were calling each other fags on the playground.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah,
we played Smear the Queer.
That's yeah. We did a lot.
We didn't know what a queer was, but we played Smear the Queer.
The guy
exactly.
Who had the football.
Until someone tells you, sometimes right. It's just better to just leave it alone.
Right. I didn't know calling somebody a retard back in the 70s, man. No,
my wife goes crazy.
Yeah, but I didn't know that we were talking about somebody. Because we had people who were mentally, I don't know the proper term now.
Sure. Disabled.
Challenged.
Something.
Whatever.
Challenge.
Special. We had people like that in our school, but we didn't call them that name. We called other people that name.
Right.
You, this is, this is directly from that. The Office. Have you seen the episode of The Office? He's like, you wouldn't call a retarded person a retard.
No, I don't remember that.
Oh, Michael exactly Scott said that, didn't he? Yeah.
Right. No, I think you're right. I think we used it as just jibes back and forth at each other.
Yeah.
But it's now a lot more heated. Like, words contain more meaning for some people.
Well, these words, when they go away, when you're told you can't say anything, then new words come and replace them. And that's,
right.
That's what happens with memes. And there are words now that have replaced some of these words. South Park tried to do it with artard. But that didn't catch on. Now it's spurge.
Oh, really?
For Asperger, spurge. Mm. weaponized autism for people who are really smart and do a lot of research on the internet. there's a lot of it.
That's brilliant.
I'm not going to say the racial ones because I know them. So. I'll give you one. Okay.
Okay.
Any kind of attractive Jewish woman who has ample bosoms, they call them on the internet now Khazar milkers.
Oh.
And you're going to have to Google that because it's...
I'll be more than happy to Google that.
Khazar... Well, there's a myth, and this is going to be very, very short. There's a myth and a conspiracy theory that modern-day Jews came out of the Caucasus Mountains, the Khazar Empire, which was a Turkish magnate that converted to Judaism because he wanted to have... the best religion. And when they did, then his armies conquered a bunch of Islamic territories around that area. And so the conspiracy is that they took over and got rid of all the original Jews. It's a ridiculous,
wow,
stupid thing. But they've made it into a meme now, and they say Khazar milkers.
But that was there a word for that before?
Yeah, tits.
Boobs.
No, but yeah, that's with someone who's Jewish, you said.
Well, yeah. She's a Jewish chick.
Well, see, but beforehand, like, we didn't distinguish.
Yeah.
We just, you know.
I don't know. I'll listen to Jewish Princess by Frank Zappa and find a word for it. With Titanic tits, you know, and sandblasted zits.
What's funny, one of our very first guests, the guy I was telling you about that was a little bit older, he said something that was really profound. He goes, I don't know where I read it, and he sort of paraphrased it, but he said, the level of outrage stays the same generation to generation, but what you're outraged about changes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always going to be outrage at something. So in the 70s, it was almost kind of like a joke. Hollywood had a bunch of gay actors.
Yeah.
They're on Hollywood Square. Ha, ha, ha.
Paul Lynn.
Yeah. But nobody really was thinking of it as a mean thing. Nobody was thinking, like Autumn said, nobody was using it
Liberace
in a mean way.
Liberace. Right. Perpetual Bachelor.
And almost everybody that was already gay was using that as their shtick.
Yeah.
Like Liberace. Right. You know, like Paul Lynn. You know, it was
also had Rock Hudson, who didn't.
Nobody knew.
Right. And Jim Neighbors.
Oh, yeah. Nobody knew.
And Wally Cox. Right.
Nobody knew Jim Neighbors.
I didn't know he was gay.
Oh, I had a feeling.
I thought he was a Marine.
Well, God,
no, I knew he was gay.
Hard.
Well, Shazam.
Yeah. What, Autumn?
Shazam.
No, I was thinking, when you said Jim Neighbors, I was thinking of someone else. But yes, I think I knew, like, past, once he was already, I think I knew he was gay.
I didn't think that anybody would have a gay person on the Andy Griffith Show.
But that's just an example of where in the 70s, making those jokes, it wasn't an outrage. They had other things to be outraged about. Now, the outrage has shifted. You can't make those jokes because you're making fun of a gay lifestyle.
Yeah.
But now there's other things that we're okay making fun of. But, you know, it's like, so the outrage stays the same. Right. Christians. Right.
Straight white Christian men.
Yeah.
Your days are numbered.
Open season.
We're done.
Yeah.
We're
rabbit season, duck season, white Christian men season.
But I'm Catholic. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
It's so anyways, it's a big thing.
Yeah.
All right, you get a pass.
When do we want to... Because I know you're keeping track of time, but we have got to do something for you guys because you did something for us.
Okay.
So we got you guys something.
You got a Laurel and Hardy handshake for us?
Is it a blow-up TSA doll?
What are you doing?
Is it the French mistake?
I hope it's the French mistake.
Hold on. How do you want me to do this?
It's a paintbrush.
You didn't paint. You didn't go ahead and start with.
I have a trunk full of shit for
with
all
this bag. Okay, so these guys did the infamous.
Six pack of beer for
you guys did the infamous campfire scene.
Yeah.
Right.
So we had to bring you first and foremost a giant can of beans.
Oh yeah, Bush's big beans.
You got beans there. You got to have a Mongo-sized spoon
nice.
To eat that with. And because later on we make the French mistake, and they were drinking coffee around right. with all those beans, you got some French Ross right there for you.
Nice.
And Walt, I'll let you go through the other stuff. Now, obviously in the campfire scene, there were some utensils and other implements.
Of distraction. Yeah.
And gift giving, of course, is always a great radio gag. Here are a couple of plates for your beans.
Yeah, you got to get your
nice.
Your
campfire.
These are campfire. These are all right. Okay. This is baked enamel, Autumn.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
And a couple of coffee cups.
Yeah, there you go. So now you can drink your cold brew or
amazing.
Hot brew.
Wow.
So
baked enamel.
There you guys. So now you can
your hand stick at your tush.
Only the best from
Oscar Schindler made these.
So anyway, we appreciate you guys. Now, you guys had a chance to pick your scene, which you guys got in early this time, and you guys wanted that scene, and you guys got it. And
we did.
Which
we
is funny, because that's the scene I wanted you guys to have. I was like, that would be perfect for Tim and Jeff.
Well, specifically Tim, by the way, folks, for the Radio Labyrinth audience, if you didn't hear him or us sort of allude to the event...
Yeah,
because Jeff kind of mentioned it in Young Frankenstein, but Tim retells the entire story that goes along with the campfire scene. So if anything, when it comes out, you guys got to at least listen to the Tim and Jeff minutes, because the story you tell of having to leave the movie theater had me in stitches.
Wasn't that Jeff?
No, it was you.
Oh, it was okay. You.
See, I can't wait short to hear week. That.
Oh,
I don't know that story.
Oh, that, oh, yes. No, fuck. Yeah, Autumn doesn't know the story.
That's awesome.
It was one of those things where I laughed so hard just listening to it, and I haven't even had a chance to edit it.
And
yet.
I've referred to Shart Week like 50 times.
I even went to MySpace to try and find those old Shart Week.
I have
memes.
It. I found it. I found it.
I looked all over the place for them. I could not find it. You get to post it if you find it.
I found it. You guys keep talking.
Throw out your hands. Take out your tush. Hands on your hips. Give them a push.
What do you think you're doing here? This is a closed set.
Piss on you. I'm working for Mel Brooks.
Not in the face. Thank you.
Buddy, come on, girl.
Right, listen. I got one more ad to do. I got Huff and Pepper hot sauce. Have you heard of it? It's like this famous Chattanooga-based business that produces Huff sauce. It's like an everyday hot sauce. It's the brainchild of this mate, Aaron Hoffman. He's a right mate. He's a man obsessed with making hot sauces, chili powders, since like 2013. Huff's biggest challenge was to create a perfect hot sauce to kick up the flavour of everything. From like morning eggs to sandwiches, salads, pizza, burgers, even your frozen pizza, right? It's in your oven right now. It couldn't just be spicy, he said. It like had to be pleasantly tangy, flavorful and fresh. That's how they describe me back home. Right, now go to huffandpepper.com for 15% off. You can use the code RadioLab15. No spaces, mate. Don't be sneaking a space in there. It's RadioLab15 at checkout for 15% off your order. Huffandpepper.com.
Okay.
No, Autumn, what happened was Jeff and I went to, remember the
just tell the quick version so they can listen. I will. To
yeah, because otherwise
no
one's going to come listen
podcast.
To the episodes.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen to their podcast from the time I shit my pants at the movie. That's just.
And that was
isn't
only
that a good
beginning
tease?
Of it.
Yes. Oh, yes. I shit myself once.
That opened it.
So
these are the kind of things that you can expect from our podcast.
Let me play the scene real quick if we can. You guys can talk over it and everything. But this is the scene that Jeff and I do.
Yeah.
On the Wilder Ride.
And this was the very first, by the way, movie history. First time ever on screen.
farts happening live. Right. Well, cinematically.
Yeah. Well, and Burton said that Mel came up to him, Mel Brooks came up to him before the scene and said, I'm going to make you famous today.
I'm going to make you famous today.
Wow.
He's like, when you get done, you don't have to worry about that fireman job.
Because he's the first person ever fired on film.
Yep. Well, here we go. Now, what's funny about this is these were all done in post. These weren't really live on the set. And you can hear they're way too loud.
Right.
And they're just layering people in the editing room.
But Burton was a new actor. He thought he actually had to
do the set. I don't know how many more times I can do this.
He was pushing them out for real.
Which I'm sure everybody else in the sound stage appreciated.
I'd say you've had enough.
The one last one.
Yep. I understand there's a new sheriff.
Now, who wants to kill him?
And there's the Yatu music. See, I'm dead. I'm really coasting on fumes here.
Drink some cold brew.
I can't. I won't get to sleep, and then I'll be shitty on the show tomorrow.
This was I wish I could impart this to you. I can drink a cup of coffee to go to bed.
So can I, but yeah. I've already had a lot today.
Oh yeah,
boy, my voice sounds good, huh?
It does sound good. It sounds like you've been. Smoking a pack of unfilters all night.
That was
screaming at a concert
back in the '90s. A guy said, "Hey man, you smoke a pack of Camels, you'll have that crisp golden voice that voiceover people want to hear."
You know, I'll go ahead and stick with right where I am.
Yeah.
Sounds super macho like Rock Hudson.
So our scene basically is the first time ever farts were in a movie.
In a movie, mm-hmm. ever.
Now, the first time, you guys know the first television show to play a toilet flushing?
Yeah, that's...
What?
Yes.
Is it The Brady Bunch?
Nope.
No, I've heard
that. Brady Bunch is the first time a couple in bed together.
Right. Yeah.
Doggy. Was it All in the Family?
Yes.
Yeah. All in the Family, yeah.
You never saw the toilet, but you heard, where's Archie? Oh, God.
Well, and it's hard to think, you know, that was just the 70s.
Yeah.
You know, that wasn't all that long ago, really.
Yeah. And
well, 45 years ago now.
That was just yesterday.
Yeah, it was long time ago. So how important is that movie, is this movie, do you think? In the grand scheme of the movies that Mel Brooks has made and lasting power of comedy films and everything that came after it that tried to replicate it. How important is it, and where does it rank as far as, you know, being one of the best comedies of all time, do you think?
You want me to go first? Are you going
first? Go ahead.
For me, it is the single most important film Mel Brooks has done because it's still as relevant message-wise as it has ever been.
Mm-hmm.
It's the reason why we chose to do it for our second season. We started seeing how many people are so easily triggered without actually waiting for context or understanding.
Yes.
They just hear a word and go, light their heads on fire. And it's like, well, wait a minute. You're never going to learn anything. And that's why it's still relevant 45 years later. And I fully believe, and Mel Brooks has said this multiple times, this is the funniest comedy in my mind that has ever been made. It is my favorite comedy of all time.
Wow, that's pretty strong.
Yeah. Mel Brooks was quoted as saying, when Some Like It Hot keeps getting the number one, a lot of the AFI list, they put it as the number one comedy. He said, no, it's Blazing Saddles. And then he said, followed by Blazing Saddles, followed by Blazing Saddles, followed by Blazing Saddles. And then in the fourth place, we will give it to Young Frankenstein.
What's your favorite comedy movie that isn't Blazing Saddles? Going around the horn. Start with Walt.
Oh wow! Okay.
Say it again. Is it Mel Brooks? You said
your favorite favorite comedy of all time that wouldn't be Mel Brooks.
It isn't
movie.
A Mel Brooks.
Well, it depends what kind of category too, because you've got the zany kind of Zanuck Brothers, which I've got one like
breaking
that.
Breaking it down. Just
okay,
pick
just
one.
Funny. Okay, go ahead. You got one?
I'll give a couple of them. Slapshot has always been at the top.
Another
of my
good
list.
'70s film.
Yeah, I love Slapshot.
You ever see that, Autumn?
I think I tried to watch it and I did not. I did not get into it.
Oh.
The hockey, Paul Newman, right?
Yeah.
Paul
Newman.
And then those two brothers.
The triplets.
The triplets.
Hanson triplets.
Yeah.
So that's
up there. 70s boobs in that one, I think.
And Bush.
Yeah.
So we got some Bushes over there. You got Bush's baked beans.
Yeah.
And then probably right up there with it would be Airplane.
Yeah, Airplane would be one of mine.
Yeah. Those two, the Zucker brothers have always been favorites of mine. So those are all going to be at the top.
Yeah, because I used to do a lot of theater. For me, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but the movie version of Noises Off is one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. About staging a play and everybody hates each other and it gets worse and worse and worse the more they're on stage.
Oh, Noises Off is amazing.
Noises Off is fantastic.
Yes.
That is a really good comedy. If I go silly, top secret.
Okay.
Yeah, Top
Secret. Love Top Secret.
Yeah, Top Secret's great.
Top Secret is really underrated but funny as shit.
It is. And I actually just did three episodes of the Top Secret Minute.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, last week.
You can't tell us when it's coming out because it's Top Secret.
Because I can't remember. My brain doesn't work like that anymore.
Right. So.
Well, you know, talking about the relevance of Blazing Saddles, I agree with Alan that it is probably one of the most important comedies of all time because it really has a voice that I think is still important today.
Yeah.
And I think if people can get past the trigger words, if you will, I think that the message is so strong and the way that it's presented is great because it makes you laugh. So you kind of bring your guard down a little bit and then it hits you with the realities of what racism really is and what racists are like. But also, I think the staying power of that film is really interesting because everybody from our parents' age all the way up to now, you can start quoting lines and there'll be guys in college that go, oh, yeah. And they get it. And I'm always fascinated by the comments online when somebody posts something. Every once in a while, you'll see the moron who says, oh, this is the most racist movie ever. I love it. And you're like, no, this is exactly aimed at you,
right?
Shit.
Yeah, it's the opposite.
Yeah, so I think that that makes it one of the most
racist movie of all time is The Birth of a Nation.
Right. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. That's a horrible
movie. Celebrate the Klan.
Yeah. And yet, you know, it's one of the most important movies ever.
Yeah.
But I think that is one of the reasons it's so important is because that message is so enduring. And I think that in some ways, the message of the movie is probably more relevant now than it even was in 1974.
That's a good point. I agree. And
but not just on racism, because that's always there.
No,
I mean,
but
that's
about
never going
society.
Away. But in terms of understanding where we are and not, you know, judging people for whatever it is, and not using trigger words to immediately dismiss people.
Correct.
Right.
So
it's also a little bit of exposure therapy, too, because if you are sort of a little bit triggered by the word in the beginning, by less than halfway through, you've the sting of it has left, and now you're really just getting the context of why it's being used.
And that's why I'm triggered by stupidity and dishonesty, blatant dishonesty. Yeah. Yes. If you know something is incorrect and you say it anyway and you stand by it, that triggers me because don't be dumb. Jeff, what's your favorite?
I was going to say Airplane 2, but I don't know. Maybe.
Airplane 2?
No,
Airplane also.
Airplane also. Oh, okay.
I was going to say, wow,
I mean, Airplane
2
is not bad.
Shatner was hilarious.
Airplane 2 is funny. It's
when
not
when they
as
open
funny,
the door, he goes, shh.
Yeah.
So it goes, shh.
I like the end there.
Got to take a little breather.
Yeah, the movie's almost over and he's still talking on the thing. I'm going to tell you how to land it.
No, Airplane, the original Airplane, and Caddyshack maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, Caddyshack's great.
How about you, Autumn?
I was going to say all the same ones, but I still... like Naked Gun.
Oh, yeah, you took mine.
You know, nice beaver.
Yeah, I love Naked Gun. I love Naked Gun.
Yeah, Naked Gun. Even Hot Shots. I this was a long time ago, but I was standing in like a Radio Shack or something waiting for something, and there was a TV on and it was playing Hot Shots. And I was like, oh yeah, Hot Shots. I was cracking up watching it. It was so funny and stupid.
Have you guys ever seen The Maltese Falcon?
Yes.
That movie is extremely funny, and it is. It's a comedy.
Really?
Yeah. Watch it again. Now, what's the name of the guy that...
what's his name?
The Peter Lorre.
Yeah, Peter Lorre, yes.
Yeah. He is so funny. And just the way that Humphrey Bogart delivers his lines, it's a very funny movie.
I'm going to have to watch it again with it being a comedy.
With that in mind?
It's not a comedy, but watch it again. You'll see the parts of it that are funny. And another movie which is a...
But that's not your funniest.
No.
Okay.
Naked Gun.
Okay.
another movie that I really think is funny as shit that people don't talk about a lot is Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid with Steve Martin. And
if you're going Steve Martin, I'd take The Jerk or The Man with
Those
Two
are,
Brains.
Those are funny movies, but the subtlety of Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid weaving in all those old clips and how difficult that must have been to make as a film. And, you know, he keeps having the Humphrey Bogart character. He's like a loser. And he's like, come on, I'll make you some coffee.
The first time I saw that movie, I was like, this sucks. And then I saw it maybe...
But Rachel Ward's in it. How could you say it sucks?
Well, I didn't say everything about the movie was bad.
Right.
But the second time I saw it, maybe a year later, I was like, okay, wait a minute. Now I get it.
You watch it more and more, and then you figure out, okay.
Yeah, and Steve Martin is brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, I was watching Planes, Trains, and Automobiles over the weekend.
Yeah.
Steve Martin is just a brilliant comedian.
Yep.
And of course, you put him with, you know, John Candy.
John Candy is not... That character... What's his name in the movie?
Oh, yeah, he's
the
guy
showering.
Who sells shower ring.
Yeah, so, he is not a likable character.
Why?
I mean, John Candy makes him lovable.
Right.
But if you think about who he is on paper, he mm-hmm. is not a good guy.
Oh, that character? No.
Yeah, yes. Steve Martin's character.
But he's a sad sack.
I'm talking about the John Candy's character.
Yeah, John Candy's character. He's a sad sack, though.
And he's annoying.
Well, you find out why, though, at the end.
Right, but I'm saying you still love him throughout the movie. You don't hate him through that movie.
Because it's John Candy.
Right.
Exactly. John Candy has a magic.
If it had been Joe Pesci, you would have been like, I can't take this.
Yeah. Right. Shove him in front of the train.
Yeah.
Don't bring him home for Thanksgiving.
I like me.
I like
it. Oh my God. How do you guys feel about something more recent like Anchorman being super funny?
Anchorman is funny the first time you watch it, but I don't think it has staying power.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think so.
I've got an issue with Will Ferrell. I think he's good as a supporting player or a bit part, but yeah, it's all Will Ferrell, I can't do it.
I think Talladega Nights is funnier than
Talladega Nights.
Oh, I think
funny.
So too.
You know what about Stranger Than Fiction?
No, I've never seen that.
I haven't either.
Oh, that's a serious one. It's really good.
Oh, is that the one with Emma Thompson?
Yes.
I heard that was actually pretty good, but I have not seen it.
All right, listen. It's your girl, Adele. I just want to tell you about an amazing pizza place called Atlanta Pizza Nero. You want the address? It's 1565 Georgia 138, Conyers, Georgia 30013. It's Atlanta Pizza Nero. It's a long-time local favourite, eh? They serve best pizzas and best gyros. They've got Italian beef sandwiches, hot subs, spaghetti, lasagna, Greek salads, and like a relaxed, casual setting, yeah? It's been there since 1983, so you know it's good. Follow them on Twitter, twitter.com/ATL Pizza Gyro. Do you know how to spell gyro? It's G-Y-R-O. Check them out, mate. You won't regret it.
I will tell you, the funniest modern movie is the first Deadpool.
Oh, shit. That's funny as hell.
Like Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead
is great.
But that's not as modern. When you said modern, I thought you meant like within the last 5-10 years.
Yeah.
But
right.
Think about Deadpool. This is funny. We talked about this in one of our episodes. How many movies we could quote growing up?
Right.
And for a long time, there were no movies. Nobody was going around quoting movies. And then all of a sudden, here comes Deadpool, and everybody's quoting that movie.
Right.
So for kids or people that are younger, when they're quoting Deadpool, that's how we feel about movies like Blazing Saddles. Mm-hmm. Like Jaws or like, you know, all these movies we grew up with, Star Wars, where you're quoting these lines all the time.
I couldn't quote you shit from any of the new Star Wars movies.
No.
Stop holding my hand!
Yeah. Oh, God. Let's go ride these weird horse things.
I can quote the people
no
behind
reason.
Me.
Don't
when will
get
this
me
be
started.
Over?
Hey, yes. I'm one of the people in here who will argue that Last Jedi is a magnificent film.
The Last Jedi?
Yeah.
Oh.
That was fantastic.
Why? Which one is that?
We're not getting
the most recent one.
Oh, okay.
Ryan
fantastic
Johnson.
Fantastic film.
Oh, my God.
What
beautiful.
Film?
Cinematic.
Did you see it?
Multiple times.
Did you see it?
Multiple, fair question. Multiple times.
All these Star Wars movies are better than Lucas's swing at it. So
that's true, too.
Take what you get and,
that is
and
true.
Shut the F up.
Nah, that is true.
I don't think so.
Better than, okay.
Solo was good.
Yeah.
Solo was okay.
Rogue One
was fantastic.
I like all these new Star Wars
movies. I hate the other two.
I like Last Jedi. I like that. It's fine.
I actually put Rogue One pretty high up there because it's one of the best World War II movies I've ever seen.
Exactly.
Yeah. Autumn, did you say it was fine?
Rogue One.
Yeah.
I loved Rogue One.
Yeah, I thought Rogue One was
great. But don't you feel like
great.
There were, it's not, I mean, there are problems with Last Jedi.
I like Rogue One because
we'll
there
have
are
to
all
talk
characters
sometime.
You didn't know. They're all characters you don't know until the very end with the CGI Leia. Oh, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
And then they land on the...
had Grand Moff Tarkin.
Yeah, but it was a story that you didn't know with people
it was
you didn't know. Same with Solo except for Chewbacca and Han.
It was the best produced fan film I've ever seen.
Yeah,
it was annoying.
I liked Solo. I thought it was good.
I had a lot of problems with
Solo.
I had
way
a lot
more
of problems
with Pussy.
Oh, we have to use this train to get this expensive important
I know.
Whatever.
Oh,
no.
We could have a whole episode.
It's just made for a
happening.
Cool fight.
Yeah.
No.
Look, everybody
has
no a better Star Wars movie in their own head. But they're not out there making it. These guys are.
Or how about
making
me?
It
you know what? Let me quote Jeff Goldblum. And no one asked whether I'm not going to quote it because I can't say it right. But
just because you can do something.
Yeah.
Yes, doesn't mean
nobody
they should.
Unless you should.
Can I tell you a quick story though about in the Star Wars realm? Since we're here, the coolest thing it was a Christmas gift from my wife. We just did it. Not anymore. We got.
You
gotta
post that.
Oh,
on
you're
on
right.
Facebook.
I don't know what I was thinking.
She bought me for Christmas, but it wasn't until March.
We went to
go see the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra live do the score to The
Empire Strikes Back.
And it wasn't like a 12-piece. It was the entire orchestra.
Yeah. Wow.
I literally, have you ever felt like such joy or happiness, your eyes start to water?
Right.
Yeah. That's what happened like
cry?
Three times. Yeah, yeah, we'll say that.
So that's the other word
this
for
weird
it.
Liquid coming from
I don't know
head.
What this is.
I walked out of, go ahead, finish
three
the story.
Three times in that movie when it first opened, that opening salvo of the story, the trumpets, and I was like, right. Oh my God. The second, the battle on Hoth, it was amazing. And then the real touching scene when it's Han is telling Chewie, stop, you're going to have to take care of her. And he's getting down and he's like, she goes, I love you, I know. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm crying like a freaking girl. It was awesome.
Know.
It was awesome. If you ever get a chance to do it, if you're even a mild fan of any of the originals, to hear the music live, you there's no way to explain it without
being
there.
They've done shows too with John Williams conducting.
Have
like
they?
A live orchestra, yeah.
You know, the next one coming amazing. Up at the ASO is Jaws. They're doing that
right.
in May.
Ooh, yeah, that'd
I'd
be
go
good,
to that.
Too.
Yeah. Oh,
I
my God.
Jaws.
So anyways, that sorry, just got
movie.
Me thinking. We're talking Star Wars, and I just had to tell you that, because the scores are so good, and to hear it live, there's no way to explain it without going.
I forgot what I was going to say.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Well, but you were saying that your favorite comedy is Naked Gun?
Yeah, it is.
Why is that?
Because it's funny from start to finish. And it's a farce, and it's and I also liked the show that it was based on,
the show
Police
was
Squad,
amazing. Yeah.
Which Jeff's dad used to say was the funniest show ever put on TV, and it was so good they had to cancel it. Yeah. That's what your dad said.
I think that's exactly right.
It was so funny they had to cancel it.
Well, you know, my dad was in law enforcement when I was growing up, and that scene in Naked Gun where he's gotten fired and he's slamming desk drawers and everything,
yeah.
And he pulls that bag out and he goes, this is the evidence from the Johnson case. My God, he was innocent. And the other guy goes, Frank, they just executed him last week. He throws it back in the drawer and he goes, oh, well, it doesn't matter now. And he slams the drawer. I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's my dad. No, what does it matter?
I like in the second one where he goes, I haven't had this much sex since I was a Boy Scout leader. At the time, I was having a lot of sex.
That's right. He's like in a restaurant,
yeah.
Right?
And Priscilla Presley, who knew that she could act?
Oh,
I mean,
God,
she was great.
She was great in that. I mean, she could act comedically. She was on Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
She was a regular on Dallas. I think she was with Bobby. She was with Bobby after Bobby, and I can talk.
Who
I never got
Bobby?
Into Dallas.
A lot of people. Bobby was not a scumbag like JR. You leave Bobby alone.
And Bobby was Man from Atlantis.
Yes, he could swim underwater.
I love Man from Atlantis.
I did
I know,
like that
I did
show.
Too. I hated when that went off.
Buy a drink, JR. Buy a drink, JR. They all drank on that show.
They did. Every room they walked in, they walked up to those like crystal.
They had a bar.
Those things, were the days.
Yeah. Oh, or my house. Okay.
Buy a drink, JR.
That is that one's house.
That is my house.
Oh, where do we go from here?
I don't know.
I don't know either. What
sponsors?
Well, no. I'm going to record those.
Oh, okay.
Just this week. What's the next? What scene is Autumn doing? That's right.
Autumn has the where we actually literally crash back into 1974 with the set. Dom DeLuise is directing a very choreographed musical with men in top hats and tails.
You sissy Marys.
Yes.
Hey, that was a good Dom DeLuise.
Buddy Bizarre.
Buddy Bizarre. I miss Dom DeLuise. He was in a lot of, well, I guess, okay.
He was always a better sidekick. He couldn't really sustain by himself.
You ever see that movie he was in with the pawn shop?
Was it called The Pawn Shop?
No, I forget what it was called.
It was called that movie with the pawn shop?
He was in a movie about a pawn shop. They were cops working undercover. And one of the guys in the co-star was the Hispanic guy from Electric Company, the bald guy with a mustache.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. What movie is this?
I forget the name. I totally forget the name.
Wow, you just opened a door in my brain.
But I watched it over and over and over, and I can't remember the name of the film.
Well, what's bad about your brain is it probably shut on something important that we're going to need to record sometime in the next week.
Yeah, like my whole income tax just went out the window.
Ooh, I haven't done mine yet.
I'm trying to finish.
See, because of my age, Dom DeLuise was two totally separate people. You know, he was this guy in Blazing Saddles.
Right.
He was in Smokey and the Bandit. You know, these Spaceballs, he was in Spaceballs, but that was different. I guess that was his voice.
Right.
Blazing Saddles. But for most of my life, I knew him from like cartoons. Like he was just a voice. He was in All Dogs Go to Heaven, Secret of Nim. He was the crow in Secret of Nim.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
A sparkly. Mrs. Briz.
Yeah. And like an American Tale. He was in all the. And so like for a long time, they lived in two separate places. These two Dom DeLuises. Oh, and I knew him from like he always wore the hat and he had the beard.
Dom DeLuise.
Yeah, the snap brim
hat. Jockey shorts.
Yeah, he was right. Because that was from Cannonball Run.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's sort of how I knew him. I didn't know him as this younger version.
You didn't know him as the German doctor in Cannonball or in Smoking the Bandit 2?
Yeah, not really. I just knew that he was in. I don't know.
Wait, which one, Tim? 2?
Smoking the Bandit 2. He's mm-hmm. the doctor that rides with the elephant in the back of the truck.
Yeah, that was. Wait. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right,
yeah, no, that is correct.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
That was, did you find the name
was
of that
it Hot Stuff?
Yep, that's yeah. what
hot
it was called.
Hot Stuff, yeah.
I don't know that actor's name, but he was the Hispanic guy from Electric Company.
I can honestly say never saw it.
Yeah, I can't remember his name. But, you know, it's funny looking back at
hey,
Dom
Rita
Dunn's,
Moreno
though.
Was on
I mean, he was, who was?
Rita Moreno was on Electric Company.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. There were all kinds of people on the Sesame Street and Electric
well,
Company.
Well, shit,
shows.
Who else was on Electric Company? Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman
yeah,
got
Morgan.
His start.
Yeah.
Yeah, Easy Reader.
Yeah. Can you imagine how much he was holding back?
Yeah, no kidding. He had to play that Blackula character. I want to bite your neck. Although they didn't call him Blackula, because that probably would have been offensive.
Not on Sesame Street.
You ever see Blackula?
Yeah.
Good movie.
You ever see The Blunch Black of Bloater Blame?
No. How about Scream Blackula Scream? Yeah. What's The Blunch Black of Bloater Blame?
The Simpsons gag.
Okay. Oh, I am getting punch drunk. So, Autumn Scene, that's coming out when?
That'll be probably more
toward
like
the end, right?
June. Yeah.
Very
July,
much toward
yeah.
the end.
Yeah, because yeah. the show, actually, we call serendipity. We timed it that the show ends and we want a big nationwide fireworks display.
Right.
So the show will end just in time for that. And we figure we'll have it on the 4th of July, too.
Perfect. Way to
so
go.
So we're going
to
celebrate the closing of the show, the close of season 2. On July 4th. That'll be the last episode. Then the Burton Gilliam interview will drop within a couple of days after that.
Is that going to drop just for patrons or is that going to...
No, it's going to be for everybody. We're going to make that for everybody. Yeah. We want everybody. And it was such a fun interview. The guy was going to give us an hour and we ended up being 2 straight right. hours with him.
Oh, yes.
And probably
would
have gone longer, but his wife is like, dinner's getting cold.
Yeah. And after the first hour, we had not even talked about Blazing Saddles yet.
Yeah, hardly at all.
So he was great. Autumn's episodes will drop on June 20th and 21st.
Okay.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
When are ours coming out? Soon.
I was just about to look. Now you're making
because the sheriff that. just got into town. If you're, if
the
you're
sheriff is about to
live,
hold,
yeah.
the sheriff is about to do his best Jesse Smollett and yeah. Hold himself up. He's going to do
oh
that.
Oh Lordy
here.
Lord, do what he
do
say.
What he say.
Do what he say. Won't somebody help that poor man?
Hush, Harriet. That's a sure way to get him killed.
What a great, you can't quote it, but what a great fucking
it's a
scene.
Great yeah. scene.
Well, y'all
it
are
is a wonderful scene.
Yeah, y'all are April 23rd and 24th.
Oh, April 23rd is my dad's birthday, so that's his present.
He'll appreciate that.
I watched it with him when I was younger. I also watched it with my grandpa. I loved watching movies with my grandpa. I watched Home Alone with him once, and he's laughed the whole movie.
Oh, that's sweet.
And then,
that is
awesome.
Cool.
And then I would go there, and Sci-Fi used to have Planet of the Apes marathons.
Oh, yeah.
On the holidays. So I'd start watching the first one, and he'd fall asleep for 4 hours and wake up, this movie still on, Timmy?
Timmy.
That's
Timmy.
They called me Timmy. Is that movie still on?
Why
good
are they
God.
Under the Planet of the Apes?
What's going
those
on?
Those are
there?
Monkeys, aren't they? Or what are they? I don't know. I love my grandpa.
Well, you know, the coolest thing about doing this kind of show, because it's different than yours. Yours, you're dealing with kind of like entertainment culture and what's happening day to day, because yours is a weekly podcast.
And we've been doing a lot more interviews lately, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, ours being able to bring in guests just about in every single episode and try to get different perspectives and then different rabbit trails we go down because everyone's got a different story to tell about when they saw it the first time
right.
or when they realized, oh my God, now I get that joke. I didn't get it when I was 9, but now I get it that I'm 19 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I think for us, it's been a lot of fun just having the conversation with people who also love the movie, kind of like how we're doing today.
Right.
Just that sense of, just talk. Just go.
Yeah.
Like, we have a rough outline. Like, I know we can't go outside of the minute. You know, if there's an actor, Walt usually takes lead about saying, you know, well, what other movies is this person been in or TV shows? Where have they come from? Where are they, if they're still alive? I tend to look for things like filmmaking techniques because that's my background. So I'll talk about, you know, camera sometimes or continuity errors. But for the most part, it's just about having a good time and laughing and just looking at a movie that we all just absolutely love.
Now, you're interviewing Harvey Korman's son this week.
This week will be.
Is that a secret?
No, you can tell that.
Okay.
Chris Korman. It's on the website. I've got a list of all the guests. It's on the website. Chris Korman is he's a bit of a performer, mm-hmm. but he does kind of his own thing. He's not into the acting as much as like he's doing like live sort of shows
and
tribute
old is
shows. I don't know.
Got to be in his 40s at least, right? 50s,
probably.
Maybe. Yeah, yeah.
I think he's in his mid to late 40s.
Yeah.
But he and I chatted for about an hour on the phone.
Wow.
And I said, well, we've got these episodes. And actually, I said, you tell me if this would be weird. We've got the last scene still open between the duel between Bart and Hedley Lamarr.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and if you think about it, in Blazing Saddles, Hedley Lamarr is the only person who actually is killed in the movie.
Wow.
Bart kills the bad guy. I mean, Waco Kid goes, wow, you killed the bad guy. Right? And I said, he goes, that would be so awesome. So he's going to talk about his dad.
Wow.
And the final scene and the true, I mean, it's a Western trope. You've got to have the draw, right?
Right,
you've got to have the two guys standing off and drawing. And it's going to be awesome to have him do that. So Chris Corman will join us for the very last few minutes of the movie.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I told the doctor that the rash is spreading, but he tells me, oh, hello, hi. I'm so sorry. I was talking right to my mate here, telling him about something unrelated. Anyway, I want to quick tell you about the Resource Environmental Group LLC. It's an environmental consulting firm in the greater Atlanta area. And if you want more information, you just got to contact Jason Chappell. It's not hard. It's at REGLLC@att.net. If you know what a resource environmental group is, then you already know you need this guy, right? Contact him. His name's Jason. He's a right mate. REGLLC@att.net. Thanks.
All right. Tell everybody where they can find the podcast, what your website is, and your social media.
Okay. So the website is thewilderride.com, and really everything you ever need to know about us is there. Links to all our shows, guests, all that kind of stuff, all our social media. But one thing that people probably want to do is, much like y'all, we've got a listeners group. So if you go to facebook.com/thewilderride, then you can follow us there, hit the button to join our listeners group, answer a couple quick questions, and you're in. And there's stuff posted in there all the time.
Every day.
Every day. About anything ranging from Gene Wilder to the movies that we're looking at to whatever else.
Yeah, the only rule in there is it's only about movies and entertainment. We're not talking politics.
Yeah.
We're not talking about current events. We're not even going to take – I've had people accidentally put like a meme that had maybe Gene Wilder, but it was obviously making fun of maybe a political character. I'm like, no.
Yeah. Oh, with Donald Trump on his face?
Yeah, that does not belong in here.
Yeah.
Right.
And then Jeff's been pretty active in that group, too. He's posted some things.
Our listener group is way better than our Facebook page, so I'm telling everybody. What is the name of that group again?
The Radio Shack.
The Radio Shack. And it's run by Dustin Lawler.
Right.
Yeah, it's really good.
He does great stuff in there. Mm-hmm. He shows movies. He does memes. So I'm suggesting if you're looking for us on Facebook, go there. We'll still post on our page.
Well, you need the public page.
Yeah.
Because that's the one anybody can stumble across.
Right. But they have so much fun on that listener page.
But the listeners group is closed, which is nice.
Yeah.
Because if you're worried about, I don't want anybody seeing what I'm talking about, well, don't worry. That's the whole point of closed group. A lot of people I've run into that are a little older that would appreciate the movie don't understand what a closed listeners group is.
Right.
Like, it stays in the group, so it doesn't clog your main feed. Anybody else that is outside of that group won't see what you're saying inside the group.
Right.
So not that there's anything dirty or wrong or anything. It's just a lot of people are worried about, I don't want people to know that I like Blazing Saddles. What? Just come on in and
people
play.
Won't know you're posting at work.
Stop being a pussy. All right. what else? Where can they find the podcast?
The podcast is on just about any podcatcher. You can find us on I get this wrong every damn time, the Apple
Podcast.
Podcast.
Used to be called just iTunes, but now they've branded it as Apple Podcast.
Yeah, so the Apple Podcast, Stitcher Premium, or Stitcher.
Stitcher.
Spotify.
Where the hell did Premium come from?
I don't know.
We don't make people pay for anything. Well.
Yeah, well,
not for the regular shows.
So,
but yeah, basically every podcatcher out there.
Okay,
we're even on the new Himalaya app that just came out not that long ago.
Are we on that yet?
So. I think we tried to get on there, and Alan said he saw us on there. So
right.
You have to go claim it. If you already have, what they basically did is they farmed a bunch of the RSS feeds to kind of force you to go use their app, and hopefully now sell you. Well, I don't know what they're using.
Oh.
I just know we're there, but I claimed it so nobody else could claim our show. So it's ours.
I didn't know
what is this thing called?
Himalaya. I didn't know it was a real thing because they've been making fun of it this whole season on Dundas.
Yeah. You thought I was lying.
Yeah.
No, I actually looked it up. It's real.
Well, this will work for y'all too, but if anybody has Alexa, you can say, hey, Alexa, I want to listen to the Wilder Ride.
Yeah, play the Wilder Ride podcast.
Yeah.
And we don't have that either.
Yeah, I think you do.
Autumn, we got to get on there.
I think you're on there by
yourself. Right, I'll check and see if we can do it.
Someone actually told me recently, said, make sure you remind people about, we have a YouTube channel.
Yeah,
we actually post it to YouTube. Now, it just shows a screenshot of the image of the day, but a lot of people
does that hurt your downloads?
I don't you know what? I'm not really worrying about the download so much.
I think it actually counts.
There's a metric in YouTube, and I don't know how it works with our publishing library versus other places that it's played.
So YouTube automatically picks up your RSS feed and creates it, or you have to upload it?
No, I had to request a channel, create the channel, feed it, and believe me, if you have music that's copyrighted, be very careful because they've got bots that analyze for music, and if it's more than...
I don't want to be analyzed.
Analyzed. And if you have more than, I think, 30 analyzed. Seconds, or if you don't talk over it, it'll... I've actually had, where I had a music clip that I kind of, someone referenced, and I put like a 32-second clip, and I got, it was rejected, and I had to go back and re-edit it and resubmit
it. Fuck that.
So
put it on Daily Motion where they don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Social media.
Everything's The Wilder Ride. Okay. We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram.
Right on. All right, guys. Cool. Thank you for coming in.
I'm serious. That's an abrupt end. We hit the wall.
No, we didn't hit the wall. I love having you guys on the show. So when you do the next movie, can you tease or you like to surprise?
Yeah, do you have like a list of like two or three or four that you're looking at for next season?
Yeah, we do. And we, you know, we're not being coy. We haven't really totally decided.
I think we know.
Yeah, we're getting close. I mean,
if you do Willy Wonka, can I be on it?
Another you?
You're going to be on it no matter what we do.
You're never going to do another
year. We may not do another year.
I hope you don't.
No.
Rhinoceros.
Unless we're running out of time. I will tell you this. We will not do Willy Wonka for the next season because there was one that came out just this past year called the Everlasting Minute where a different group did it. And I don't want to be one of those dicks that does it like the minute that somebody's show finishes.
Yeah.
But we might do a buddy comedy that he's famous for.
Ooh. Yeah. Well, and both of us are big fans of Richard Pryor, too. So there's a lot of good stuff to say about him. If
so, like I said, another you.
Did you guys watch I Am Richard Pryor? It was a documentary that was just on the Paramount Network.
Oh, no, I don't subscribe for that. I don't pay for that.
It's on Torrent.
No, it's like if you have cable, you're getting it.
Oh. Well, I don't know definitively, but don't be surprised if it's not a Gene Wilder, Richard Pryor pairing.
Yeah. Okay. So it's either going to be Silver Streak or the jail movie.
Yeah. Stir Crazy?
Stir Crazy.
Stir Crazy.
It could also be See No Evil, Hear No Evil, which I enjoyed.
We saw that in the theater. Yeah. I liked Joan Severance's Bush. What you see in that film.
line him up for that minute.
Hey, guys, I want to plug another podcast real quick. Inside Out. It is the Inside Out podcast with Turner and Seth. It is a jam band podcast. My friend Rob Turner, he is a great guy. He supported a lot of things that I've done over the years. Big radio guy, knows a lot about jam bands. I've been seeing him at jam band events since 1996 when I moved here. So
what did you guys talk about, Fish?
No, I did Donald Trump, and it's called Jam Band Trump. He wrote a bunch of stuff, and a lot of stuff got ad-libbed. And I'm sure a lot of the people, I saw it on Twitter when he posted about it, people were pissed.
Oh, so you'll be like a recurring character throughout the entire podcast?
The entire episode, yes.
Oh.
Episode.
And just one episode?
Oh, yeah. Okay. He doesn't want to destroy his listener base.
Okay.
They hate Trump. But it's funny, and, you know, there's not a lot of politics, just goofy Trump shit. So
I want to hear you doing more classic rock Bernie Sanders.
Oh, you want to hear that? You do want to hear that?
Some funny stuff,
absolutely.
Dude. That was some funny stuff.
Autumn wrote it.
Oh, Autumn wrote that?
Yeah.
What did I write?
Yeah, she's not paying attention.
I'm sorry, I was texting my husband.
The Bernie Sanders thing, that she didn't like it. She didn't laugh.
Oh, this morning?
Yeah.
Oh, I was in no mood this morning.
Oh, yeah.
She was
true.
Being dismissed left and right.
All right. We'll talk about that. Yeah, she was. But
you know. So when's your episode of the Jam Band? What's that?
It's out now.
I just subscribed. It was out last week.
I haven't listened to it yet. I look forward to it, but... I've always been afraid. The minute he asked me to do it as Trump, my first thought was they're all going to hate it.
Right.
So I hope that they don't. But Rob's a great guy, and so is Seth. It's a good podcast, especially. I mean, they talk about all kinds of music, primarily the jam band scene. But
maybe these folks need to go watch Blazing Saddles and realize they shouldn't judge something just because they don't like the sound or the imitation.
Yeah, I don't like Donald Trump. He hates people. Everybody hates people. Next week, we have an old friend.
I hate people who hate people.
Who was on the show. And I hate people like that. An old friend, Jamie Self. He was on the show a long time ago, but he was the manager who hired me to work at Amaza after I got fired from Rock 100.5. Amaza is one of the best pizza places in the entire state. And I don't say that They're not as good, of course.
Is it just Jamie or is the...
Hang on. They're not as good as Atlanta Pizza and Euro. I don't want to say that. They're a different kind of pizza. So let's clarify here. They're the best stone hearth cooked pizza.
Okay.
And I used to have to start those fires every morning. So I burned my hand on that stuff. I don't want Mike to be mad. But anyway. No.
That's the best pizza in the metro Atlanta.
It's the best pizza on Edgewood.
Conyers.
It's the best pizza we're talking about right
they
now.
They have the best polpette in the entire state.
The best pizza mentioned on this
episode. Atlanta Pizza and Euro is the absolute best pizza in the entire world because they're our sponsor.
I know, and they're pretty damn good.
Yeah.
But anyway, Hugh Connery, who started the restaurant, they've been shut down for a bunch of years. Almost 2 years now,
Somebody crashed a car into the front of the building.
Broke the water pipe and flooded the whole place.
And then they rebuilt it, and they were going to open it up again, and another car crashed into it.
What? Maybe they need a new location.
Well, it's at the edge, you know, right there at Edgewood in the end of that other road. I don't know the name
of it.
But anyway, they're going to come on and talk about the opening and hopefully bring some food.
Awesome.
Coming up in a couple of weeks, we have Eddie Pepitone and Dana Snyder and Casper Kelly. All from the hit Adult Swim show.
Your pretty face is going to hell.
We'll also have Dave Willis and Matt Servito.
We're working on them.
Yeah. Well, don't we have Dave confirmed?
as far as if he's going to be in the studio or not, I don't think we have that confirmed.
All right. And then hopefully Henry Zabrowski later on. And I have the studio reserved, Jeff, so no need to
fret. Yeah, just reserve it for the next 3 weeks after the Maza episode.
I've got it reserved. So.
What is Henry going to come talk about?
He's on Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell, and the premiere is March.
Were you not just paying attention?
Like May.
You
said,
well, March, see, I listened to his podcast.
Friday, May. Yeah, the last podcast on the left.
Yeah, that's really excellent.
We actually had him.
Yeah, we had him on
place.
The podcast.
Yeah, he came with Dave a long time ago. So yeah, that's coming up. And so please remember to like us on Facebook and all that, and rate and review us on iTunes if you subscribe on iTunes. We do have a new review. I'll read it next week. We'll do a more traditional show next week with
And review us, and maybe you'll make it on next week's.
Yes,
and reviews.
All the bells and whistles. Jeff's pick for staff pick this week is The Tick Season 2, which drops
the 5th.
Isn't this Season 3?
No, they split Season 1 into
two parts. That's right. Jeff's right. This is very funny version of the Tick. I've liked all of them, but this is my favorite so far.
Okay.
I guess maybe
the animated one was really good too.
Oh, did you watch the animated? Did you watch the animated Trailer Shop Boys?
I never got into it either.
I never watched it either. But that animated show was funny as shit. So now I'm going to go back
I'll check
and watch
it out.
All right, Autumn, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Nope, I'm good. Follow me on social media, Auto Pritz, PRITTS.
All right.
And
guys,
What We Do in the Shadows is really good too.
I'm going to check that out. Oh, the first episode of Barry, holy shit.
Yep.
My God.
Is that out?
Yeah.
Barry started last Sunday.
And the guy that I like is back, okay?
I love him.
What's his name, Frank?
Who?
I don't know, but he's amazing.
He doesn't have eyebrows, okay?
No. He has alopecia.
Yes. Barry was my favorite show from all of television last year, so I've been waiting for it.
I'm so excited. I almost don't want to watch it. I want to make him build up.
All I can tell you, with all I'm doing with all the editing and all the interviewing and all the stuff, I will tell you the only thing the wife and I are doing is we have been re-binging Game of Thrones to get ready for season.
Ooh, exciting.
When's that start?
Like 2 weeks.
April. Yeah, 2 weeks.
It is April. All right.
So, can I do very quickly? Thank you. You guys actually invited us a year and a half ago when we first were launching this idea. Jeff kind of stumbled across us and said, hey, this would be funny to have you guys in. We were able to get you guys on to season one. You guys came back for season two. You found us? I thought Jeff reached out.
No, I reached out to you, but Tim, I guess, had heard you
talk about it?
Around the office.
Look at
heard
that.
You talking about doing a Gene Wilder podcast.
What I love about the podcast community is everybody does seem to like to help others, interview others, cross, and give shout outs. So thank you, as always.
Our pleasure.
Y'all came all the way out to Cartersville.
It ain't nothing but a thing.
That was a fun trip.
Except for the food I ate.
Yeah, Tim ate at Hardee's.
Shit my pants the whole way back.
Did you ship your pants back home?
I'll be sharding that picture to you later.
Do that.
Autumn,
I'm sorry. I just want to say, and Autumn, thank you for being a guest as well, because I know you're part of this show.
I was so excited to do it.
It was a lot of fun, and I didn't interrupt you.
Weird. I don't know what to do with myself.
All right. Well, you know what we say at the end of the show. Until next week.
Keeping it canon.
Oh, keep it canon. Sorry, I was keeping it. I'm sorry. No, you want to do it again?
No, I don't want to do it, really. I don't want to do it again. I like this better.
Keeping canon. Mongo two chance.
What's up, radios? Just want to give a quick shout out to everyone who's donating on Patreon. You know, we want to thank you. We couldn't do this without you. If you were interested in finding out what we have to offer for donating to Patreon, please go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews and check out the different rewards that we have at all different types of price points. So just go check it out. But for everybody who's a donator, want to give a personal thank you, starting with Aaron Roberts, Aaron Williams, Adam Kelly, Al McMeekin, Alan Barker, Amber Gilpatrick, Andrew Harbin, Andrew Hopkins, Andrew Mulatsi, Beth Van Elswick, Bill Crumpton, Brennan Price, Brian Jackson, Buck Monterey, Chad Shepard, Chris Cosentino, Chris Knight, Chris Metzler, Chris Weiland, Colin Oman, Dan Carroll, Daniel Pitts, David C. Funk, Dean Poole, Debbie McDonald, Denise Reynolds, Dustin Lawler, Emily Warren, Eric Malmstrom, Garrett Kemble, Gwen Ketchum, Herb Lamb, Ian Stull, Jason Chappell, Jeff Peterson, Jeremy Turman, Jessica, John Sutherland, Jonathan Wilson, Keith Tate, Kevin Stokes, Kit Batty, Lauren Calderman, Leslie Haney, Leslie Norman, Lou Caniglio, Mark P. Piero, Mark Weiland, Matt Carter, Mike D, Mike Hall, Mike Spittler, Nicholas Frank, Robert Calderman, Robert Haley, Ruben Aguilar, Rusty Weinberg, Ryan O'Connor, Sam Wells, Seth Ingram, Sean Hall, Sherry Doherty, Trent, Wayne Blair, and Wendy Muller. Thank you everyone for donating. Again, if you're interested in sort of seeing what the different tiers and price points that we have and different rewards, please go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. Thank you. Keep it canon. Ooh, keep it so canon. Oh.